The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino alongside Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the studio. Plenty of ways you can get in contact with us. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Auto Value guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. On Twitter at XB Mornings. And good morning to all of our viewers on Comcast Channel 900. If you miss any part of the show, you can find our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and of course, the iHeartRadio app. Gentlemen, what do you think about for a poll question today? Do you think we should go Pac-12 related with the new list of player demands? I tweeted out in two tweets all of the demands that were outlined in the article via the Players Tribune. You can find that at AC Bellino. And it's been a topic that has been discussed, whether college athletes are exploited or not. And, you know, should they be able to capitalize financially on their value? And, you know, what makes them a college athlete? What makes them a professional? You know, and the one example everybody goes to is like, okay, well, if you were a violinist at a university and you wanted to take classes and join an orchestra or give lessons or whatever the case may be, you'd have the freedom and availability to do so. If you were to give lessons, if you were a basketball player at a D1 university or wherever, D2, D3, doesn't matter. If you're a collegiate basketball player, would you be able to hold a camp? And if you did, the money that you earned from the camp, where would that go? And, you know, that is something that I think that not only myself, but also the NCAA and coaches all over the country, they wrestle with, because, you know, what is the economic value of an individual player? You know, the Pac-12 wanted all of the money, 50% of the revenue divided up evenly between the players. Well, you can't tell me that the first-year freshman should make as much money as a starting quarterback. Like, if we're talking about capitalism here, which it's not capitalistic in college athletics, it's basically a socialist environment. And that would be a pretty socialist result, if you will, to spread out the revenue equally amongst every player when every player does not have the same value. You know, how are you going to pay your quarterback X amount of dollars and not pay the offensive line that protects him? Quarterback can hold a camp, probably make a little bit more money than the offensive lineman, although you never know. So it's a big debacle right now, and I just don't think that the Pac-12 players that constructed that are completely aware of everything that's going to happen. Because if you want to pay the football team, which I think football and men's basketball should be separate anyways, football definitely, that number of 85 scholarships, the way that Title IX works out, I just don't think that it's – I think it's a little bit of an antiquated rule. And, you know, but, hey, it's now you're dealing with lawmakers and legislation and lawyers and fees and everything else. Steve is on hold. Steve, good morning to you, my friend. Happy Monday. How are you? Best day of the week, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. How are you guys doing, Anthony?
Good, good. Ready to start this week off strong.
Absolutely. I hope so. Did you say you lived in Indianapolis?
No. Negative.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, who did?
Not me. I don't live in Indy. I've only been to Indy one time.
Oh, okay. Because that's how I heard you talking about the stadium or something down there. Or maybe you were just talking minor leagues in general. I apologize.
No, that's all right. It happens.
Friday we were talking about the average age in baseball and how to attract more fans. One of them is 3.5-hour games. You know, first of all, kids aren't going to sit through that. I don't care if you're 10, 12, 5, whatever, you know. But to help attendance, I was thinking, you know, baseball is the only sport without a time clock. So why not implement a time clock for pitchers and batters to have the same amount of time, let's say 45 seconds. You know, batters get in the box, you have 45 seconds. Pitcher has 45 seconds to get rid of the ball. And managers, for example, I'm using all examples here. For manager, like 2 minutes, a mound visit. And if they don't comply, then it's an automatic ball. What do you think about that?
Well, we do have minor league baseball implemented the clock. You get 20 seconds for a pitch. And it was so loosely regulated the first year that they did it because everybody's trying to get used to it. Very rarely would we ever see a ball awarded to a batter or a strike awarded to a pitcher when somebody violated the clock just because. You know, and it's just one of those situations where I don't think that baseball, you know, I think that baseball not having a clock is one of the things that the traditionalist, the baseball purist appreciates about the game. And I don't know how you necessarily speed up the game, because at the end of the day, the game was faster back in the day because guys threw complete games. Like pitchers lasted, you know, we see at minimum what? I would say three to five pitchers at minimum per game.
Yep, there's time right there.
Across the league, and every pitching change takes time. And you look at things like, you know, now Dan brought up the, what was the term you used for the guy, the opener, as opposed to the closer? If you're going to have a bullpen day, who's going to be your opener? Like, that was never a thing. You know, we had starting pitchers, and then all of a sudden we had a reliever, or a closer, if you will. Now we have middle relievers, we have closers, we have starters. Like, there's just a lot that goes into the baseball game. And I think that the most important thing for baseball to get fans back into it is you got to get young people interested, and you got to get young people playing the game. And that's where, you know, maybe they fall behind a little bit, because what would you rather do? Would you rather play basketball outside? You can shoot hoops all by yourself, or, you know, you could play catch. Do you want to catch a baseball, or do you want to catch a football? You know, so there's
still a ball against the house.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I throw a ball against the house. That might get you hit over the top of the head at my parents' house. But it happens. You know, it's a learning lesson.
Yeah, well, I was just, God darn, sounds like something's on fire. Did you hear that?
I did. I'm wondering, Steve, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay.
I know. I'm just throwing it out. There's some way to improve it. Because, take example, David Price. He'll stand 2 minutes. He'll get on the mound, rub the ball, get off, lick his fingers, you know, get back out around the mound, kick the dirt. And, you know, that's part of the problem. But you're right. You know, they're athletes, and they're going to win in the outcome. You know, they're making too much money to say, what do you mean 45 seconds, you know? Have a great day, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, Steve. We'll see you. No, it's the clock has been interesting in the implementation in minor league baseball. But they just don't really enforce it, and it's tough to enforce, because now you're talking about habitual changes for people. One of the big things is, you know, batters stay in the batter's box. Do you need to restrap your gloves and adjust your helmet? Well, yeah, I mean, you want to get comfortable, and it's easy for us on the outside to say, quit messing with your gloves. But you have this routine, you want those things tight, and I get it, man. I understand. You know, you look at football. And if you compare football to baseball, they have almost the equal amount of live action per game, and the games take roughly about 3 hours, like a football game. And I thought that the NFL this past year, the 2019 season, the game made great strides with the way that they adjusted their timeout scheduling, how they got rid of that whole score a touchdown, kick an extra point, take a TV timeout, go to kickoff. You know, the one team gets the ball on the kick return. Yeah, that guy gets tackled, or they take a touchback, you go right back to commercial. They eliminated one of the breaks there, and, you know, games flew by. But the actual time of real-time action is roughly the same. It's under 13 minutes per game. Where you look at a sport like the NBA or the NHL, that clock is running. When that clock is running, guys are moving, and there is action taking place.
If we're going to talk about obnoxious timing about things, NBA games schedule that, hey, we're going to start at 8:30. Tip-off hasn't been until about 20 minutes after the scheduled time. Because, like, all right, now we're going to do the video that we've played before every single game. Now we're going to air the extra long national anthem. We're going to take three different breaks between, you know, the scheduled tip-off time and what the 20 minutes we actually do tip off the game. It's ridiculous. Like, I just hate the fact that it's like, when you say the time of the game starts now, I don't want to wait 20 minutes.
100% correctly. How many times do we have to turn on the 8 o'clock tip-off on TNT and not get the game till 8:15 or 8:20? You're absolutely right. Like, if it's an 8 o'clock tip-off, do your pregame at 7:30. If it's an 8 o'clock, I don't want when coverage starts. I don't care about when coverage starts. I want to know when the ball is in the air. Let's tip it off. Let's get to getting. You know, and I think that a lot of that says, you know, a lot about our impatience, but we have a lot going on. You know, people talk about, well, the attention span and the patience of young people today is different than what it was, you know, 60 years ago. Of course, we got a million things happening all at once. You know, we're the only people, the only generation that's sitting at home trying to watch a game and checking our work email at 8:30 at night. Like, those things didn't exist. So we're constantly multitasking. More of X's and Bros when we return. The NBA and the NHL in full swing over the weekend. We'll get you all caught up with everything that happened. That's coming up next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a new day. A day of winning big at Soaring Eagle. During the $1 million summer, Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 million in premium play is up for grabs. with six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the Million Dollar Summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
Attention, Davenport University graduating class of 2020. A large number of your fellow Davenport 2020 graduates are not happy with Davenport's current plan for graduation ceremonies and would like change. If you agree and feel change needs to be made, join our Facebook group, Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation. That's Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation on Facebook. Other college graduates are getting more. Let Davenport's administration know your hard work deserves better.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino, Danica Hitlin, Ryan Elke hanging out with you this morning. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9 all across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network. And good morning to our friends in the Glass City as well. As we're cooking right along, Dave Burkett of the Free Press will join us on the Detroit Lions, the COVID situation, obviously Matthew Stafford with his positive test, what that means for the franchise moving forward. A lot of unanswered questions right now in the National Football League, and especially with our beloved franchise. That's coming up at 8:35 this morning. We have a GB Ritz is on hold. GB, good morning to you, my friend. Happy Monday to you.
Yeah, same to you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Do you prefer Anthony or is Tony good? What is your preference, sir?
Well, you know what? I've been called a lot worse, so I'm usually good with whatever people want to say. If my mother was listening right now, she would say Anthony.
That's perfect. Just don't call you late for dinner, right?
Just don't call me late for dinner or any profane name that somebody might call me on Twitter.
Okay, sounds like a plan. All right, I got to disagree. You know, if you want to play softball, play softball. But baseball, pro ball is 9 innings, always was, and I just am not a big fan of changing it to 7 innings. I'm sorry. And you play, if you're going to play doubleheaders, play a doubleheader, for gosh sakes. I mean, I used to go sit in the bleachers at Tiger Stadium and watch every team play during a summer. That was my goal, to watch every American League team play a game at Tiger Stadium every summer. And doubleheaders were part of the fun. $3, you go in and watch 6 hours of baseball, including them fixing the diamond up, or maybe 5.5 hours and everything. To me, baseball is 9 innings. And the other thing about the runner at second base in extra innings, no, I'm sorry. You just don't do it. You play baseball.
Oh, you're a traditionalist.
Absolutely. I want the pitchers to bat, for God's sakes.
Hey, I'm with you there. You know what I like about pitchers batting?
I tell me.
Well, first off, one, it's usually from a game op standpoint, somebody working a game, it's an easy out usually. But secondly, for $30 million, you better learn how to hit the ball.
Well, yeah, and their accountability is there because, if they're going to brush back another player or do something, they're accountable when they step in the box. You know,
100%.
Don't rely on your teammates kind of cover for you in that respect. But, in this day and age, in this year of baseball or pro sports, there's modifications that are going to be made. I just hope they don't stick with this game plan moving forward. You know, because it works for this.
You know, Terry, I got a question for you. Back in the day, as a young person, what do you think? You know, you mentioned $3 to get into the game. What do you think? And I don't know how to really pose this question, but how much do you think that costs in today's dollar?
For the bleachers, considering the regular seats were probably behind the plate, were probably $25. $30. I don't know. Escalate that up. I mean, what's it cost to sit behind home plate? I really don't. It probably cost you a $20 bill.
You know, and that reminds me of right when. So let's go to Bobby Higginson era Tigers. The right field before they made. I want to say it was before they made the adjustment. In right field at Comerica Park, there was the Pepsi bleachers, and you could go out there for $8. And so me and my friends, we would go to games. My buddy almost caught a home run ball that, and he was a hell of an athlete. He scored touchdowns in the state championship football game for Monroe St. Mary Catholic Central on his first two touches of the game. Right. And we ended up losing the game. It was heartbreaking, but this kid was an athlete. And when I tell you this ball went through his hands and hit the bleachers. If he'd have caught it, it would have broke his hand. And he ended up going to Southern Illinois to play baseball. He was an incredibly talented guy by the name of Thomas Leto was his name. But the sound of that ball when it hit the bleachers, I was like, look, man, you want to stand me at third base? I better have one of those. I wear the bomb squad suits. Like, yo, this thing was a rope to right field. And I'll never forget the sound because he looked back at me and I looked over at him like, you're lucky you missed it. Because if that hits your hand, your season's over. Just like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the blink of an eye.
Well, you know, those memories from the bleachers were great. I mean, I saw some great plays. Two instances, I saw Ben Oglavie's inside the park home run from the bleachers. When that ball hit the gravel warning track, he was already stepping on second base. And so it was like he was motoring, and that was a lock city for the inside the park. And then the other one.
Who was in the outfield? Castellanos?
Gorman Thomas.
So not Castellanos. That guy, he just has he has trouble with the angles there at Comerica Park. They bounce around.
And once it hit, it went over his glove, hit the warning track, and Ogilvy was one step on the bag and already on the shortstop side of second base, and it was awesome. And then the other one, Rupert Jones, Steve Kemp was batting, and Rupert Jones was playing the outfield, and Kemp hit a ball to left center by the flagpole, and in the first inning, and Rupert Jones ran it down over for an out. We moved around behind home plate. Steve Kemp came up in the eighth inning, hit the ball to the same identical spot. Rupert Jones robbed him again, twice in the same game, same type of ball. And then following a couple years later, Rupert Jones was on the World Series winning team playing left field for us. Or, you know, alternating in left field. So it was pretty cool.
GB Ritz, I appreciate the...
Shout out to Freddie's golf outing. It was a great time this weekend.
Yeah, you were out there too?
Absolutely.
Three B. I was a little late to the party here. That's what it was. I had fear of missing out, so I'm gonna have to get in this thing for next summer.
Next summer we'll see you, buddy. Take care.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks very much. And you know, I don't know if they're looking at the rules for Major League Baseball this year. Obviously it's temporary because the condensed schedule. To be able to play 2 7-inning games instead of 2 9-inning games when you have to force a doubleheader. I get it. They've been doing it in the minors for years, so I'm okay with that this go-around because we don't really have doubleheaders in the major leagues anymore, so I can't imagine that they would flip that rule. Although the runner at second base in extra innings, I think that MLB will pay a little bit more of closer attention to that. Just to see how things play out. I mean, how many games actually go into extras, I think is something you have to weigh when you make this decision moving forward. So you have that, and then you also have how did this affect the game and the standings? So we'll have to, there'll be some revisionist history here. Well, we'll have to, you know, go back in time a little bit and figure out exactly how this whole thing plays out once the season is over to go back and look at it.
Now, one thing we haven't discussed yet is that the Tiger schedule this week got changed up a bit because of the St. Louis Cardinals and their COVID testing. So instead of a two at St. Louis, two at Detroit. They're doing all four in Detroit starting Tuesday. And Detroit will be the home team Tuesday, and then the home team for game one on Wednesday of a doubleheader, but then be the away team for game two of the doubleheader. In true beer league softball fashion, they are going to flip who the home and away team is in between the doubleheader. Just give the one-and-one count already, Rob Manfred. We're waiting for it. You've already turned this into beer league softball. Make the full turn. Just do it. Stop waiting. Stop pretending. Do it already.
Wow. Let them know how you feel. Let them know how you feel. This was a very important weekend. We're not going to get a real big chance to dive in it. But the NHL was awesome this weekend. The presentation of the games, the camera angles, all of it. I love it. I love the fact that they have goal horns. I think that covering the seats was great. I like what the NBA has done with the digital display behind the benches as well, where they've implemented fans. And the NBA game on television, I don't know if it sounds like that in the arena, but what it sounds like on TV, it sounded like a real game yesterday. I was watching multiple games yesterday. It sounded like a real game. The NHL, I think, has been a wonderful presentation. I know some people think that it just doesn't feel right, and it feels a lot like exhibition season. I'm all in on this. I mean, this is like the March Madness of sports. We're going to get hockey today at noon. Noon, 2:30, 4, 6:30, 8, 10:30. Check your local listings between the NBC Sports Network and NHL TV, because all those games are going to be happening on the NHL side. We're going to start games at 1:30 today in the National Basketball Association. It is literally like March Madness, but in August. All right, we're going to step aside when we return. We'll be talking to Dave Burkett. He's got the Lions beat for the Free Press. That's next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for Tom Rosenbach, the managing partner at Bean Garter. He wanted me to get the message out that Bean Garter is here to help if you've applied for a loan through the Paycheck Protection Program and need assistance applying for forgiveness. Bean Garter and their professionals will work with you to prepare a draft application, estimate your loan forgiveness amount, and certify how you used your loan funds. They have the knowledge and experience to make sure you're getting the most loan forgiveness possible. They make it easy so you have more time to focus on what's important: taking care of your business and your people. Learn more at beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief. You can learn more on how the professionals at Bean Garter can help you in applying for forgiveness with paycheck protection programs. Go to beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief.
What will you do with tomorrow? Will you use it to make life better for you and your family? Will you spend it on an adventure, traveling somewhere new and experiencing something profound? Will you use tomorrow to rest, to work, to hope, to love? Your tomorrow, like every tomorrow, will be filled with opportunity and potential. And your tomorrow, like every tomorrow, will unfold in part because of your brain. There will be moments tomorrow that can be seized by you, driven by you, and defined by you. Your brain can lead you there. Your brain can make tomorrow memorable. Whether your efforts are realized by thousands or felt only by you, tomorrow matters. And tomorrow is worth happening.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.